Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. My prophetic perspective this week on Exploring the Prophetic is all about time. Now, time is one of our most precious commodities. It's one of the things that we waste the most, we misuse the most. It's one of the things that we don't plan the most. And we're in January. In January, a lot of times, we'll plan out maybe goals we have or plans we have for the new year. Sometimes we make resolutions. Sometimes we actually do formal planning in businesses and structures. And God wants to plan out time with you in 2025. He wants to help you plan your time. And as we step into 2025, I have felt the Spirit of God extending an incredible invitation to us as people, and He wants to plan your time with you. And when you think about time, it's wild to imagine that there's only so much creativity. There's only so many people who will exist in any generation or at all. Like if you think about the finite time that there is in human history, and there's only so many marriages and families that will be that will be before Jesus returns. Time is finite. And this is one of those things where you could look at the macro and go, oh my gosh, there's only so much resource of every kind before Jesus returns. But then when you think about your own life, there's only so many working hours. There's only so many marriage hours. There's only so many family hours. I don't know if you think about this, but like how many more times will you see your parents before maybe they go on to be with Jesus? Or maybe you only get like 18 birthdays with your kids. So how are you spending those? Or we just got past the Christmas and New Year's season. How did you spend that? And how many more do you have with different family members being under your roof? Or maybe you already have kids out of the roof. And so they come and visit you a few times a year. So planning those times around family, I mean, you're blessed if you get many marriage anniversaries. And if you're not married, you get blessed just by the friendships you have. And it's just so wild to think about how many creative projects you might get to do in your whole lifetime. It may not be that many, it may be a lot, but your time is precious for that. Or you may only start one business your whole life. Maybe you'll never start a business. Maybe you're going to work one career your whole life. And so thinking about time, it becomes more of a resource where you go, wow, there's something to this I got to look at and partner my faith to. And the Bible talks about time so much. And we're going to go there in just a minute. But I want to tell you a story of years ago. Sheree and I have been married for, I think, almost 14 years now. And years ago, we were on a walk, and we had two babies. So one was a toddler, one was a baby. And Sheree and I were running on fumes, and we had the ministry to run. We started a couple micro businesses. We had an extensive social life, especially in LA where we were living at the time. And we're walking. We took walks regularly with each other. We still do. And she looked at me and she just was sad. And she said, "I have time poverty." And she said, "I never have enough time." She used that term, time poverty. And I'd never heard that term before. I never thought of that term before. And she said, "I there's never enough time. And God showed me that I have to set new boundaries to reaccumulate and spend the resource of time correctly." So she goes, if I had a poverty spirit of money, I would have to create a budget. And I'd have to learn, like I'd have to do some probably inner work. And I'd have to learn about poverty, but it's not about that kind of poverty. It's time poverty. And she goes, and there's something inside me that needs to learn and actually activate the tools I already have to just rebalance our life. And it was actually very emotional for both of us because we are decent at setting boundaries and we're decent boundary people. And I would say she's even really good at it. She's taught me a lot of boundaries since we've been married. But with every step in life, we needed a new reassessment and a reimagining of the big picture because we were so depleted and we weren't stopping for those steps at times. And so we had added more and more to our lives. And then when you add in a few crises or a few health stuff or whatever, it was just a lot. And it wasn't even the word burnout. Like burnout is a word that happens too on the stages towards time poverty. It's one of the stages, you know, some light depression or burnout. But then if there's no margins, then you're guaranteed that there's going to be failure in some of the things that you love if you don't evolve, if you don't change. And this set a course for us when she said this of walking out God's time management for our life. And if the scripture that God's burdens are light, and if they're true, if His burdens really are light and His yoke's easy, we had to change everything we were living because it didn't feel true at all for us. I mean, a lot of our relationships were dominating space in our life because people were going through crises, and we had a lot of young families around us. I was still pastoring. We were doing so much, and we just didn't have any reprieve, and we had no margins. And so, you know, we read that scripture, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. And it wasn't easy, and it wasn't light for us. And we realized we had to change to, for that equation to change. There's something inside of us that had to be mentored, discipled, go deeper in the Word, go deeper in Jesus. And so we spent some time. We spent a long time, and we would process this as we were on our walks. We process this even sometimes on date nights, as far as like, how are we changing? How are we looking at life differently? And some of you are trapped in time poverty like we were, and some of you are so trapped that you can't see past it. But the good news is that the Bible teaches us to thrive in all areas of our lives, like resources of money and resources of relationships. But time is one of the ones that the Bible actually talks a lot about. And I encourage you to do your own study on time and then apply it to 2025, because even maybe you've already studied these things, but you can feel your margins are off again or your boundaries are off again. This is a time when you don't want your boundaries and margins to be off, because this is a time in the body of Christ where we're accumulating. This is a time where we've been depleted, where the last 4 years have been really hard politically in many countries, maybe even longer than that. And so we're at a place, again, where the economy has been hard and all these things, but where there's going to be a replenishing, where there's going to be where the areas that have been drained and drained and drained, there's going to be a total replenish for some of you. And some of you are going to walk into a season of renewal. And if we're going to walk into that, we have to change the way we spend time with God, the way we spend time with our relationships, the way we spend time with our money, the way we spend all these things. We have to look at the resources. And God wants to help you, which is the good news. God wants to help you plan time, and he's not controlling, he's not rigid. And the way he introduces you to all these things, it's like, I like what the Message version of the Bible says in Matthew 11. It says, basically, he wants to bring the unforced rhythms of grace to your journey. And I think that's such a beautiful way that whoever interpreted that, I can't remember his name, the Message version, when it talked about the unforced rhythms of grace, I think that that's what it looks like with time. It's not a forced thing. It's when you start to learn how to manage your time wisely, and then your time serves you instead of you serving your time. Have you ever been in a job that had bad management or that had just no structure to it, and so you're always behind and you never could catch up to goals, and you never really understood the goals, you never understood the parameters? I hope you haven't been in a job like that. I have been, and it's so hard because you don't understand, like, where am I going to miss it? And you're constantly in stress. You're constantly in chaos. I know some of you who might be in the medical field might feel that way sometimes, or some of you who are police officers, or there's different career paths that can feel that way at times. Even ministry can feel that way for so many people in ministry, feel chaotic in their schedule because they could have a plan, but then, you know, marriage crises or deaths or whatever happens in the ministry that they're involved with, or just crisis, and they have to like stop everything for that crisis. And so there's so many things that keep us from thriving in this unless we set our time, unless we partner with God to set our time. And Jesus is not a distant observer of your life. I mean, his spirit lives inside of you right now, gently nudging you, and he becomes the ultimate calendar planner, your divine life organizer. I don't know if you've ever seen him this way, but he sees your schedule and your relationships and your priorities, and he wants to partner with you to align these areas with his perfect plan. He has a perfect plan for you. So imagine sitting across from Jesus as if you're with him with a planner open, and he's bringing clarity to you and your priorities. And think about your priorities. And I think you should do this as an exercise if you have the willpower to do it. It's just like, okay, putting my planner out. Maybe it's your phone, maybe it's your iPad, whatever, your computer. And I'm going to think about 2025, and I'm going to think about marriage and family, because he wants to breathe peace and restoration in all these relationships. And he wants to show you how to guard your time for what truly matters. So Sheree and I, a lot of times at the beginning of the year, we'll look at what are we doing for birthdays? What are we doing for the kids' holidays at school? What are we doing for our holidays as a family? What are we doing with extended family? What are we doing with our closest friends? And we actually start there in some of those plans before we start. What projects will I bring to the table, or should we bring to the table? What social media projects do you have? What ministry projects do I have, or business projects will we do together? Before we do all of those things, we start with our family and our core. We also start with, how are we going to spend time with God as a family? So like, what devotionals are we going to try and read through this year? What books do we care about? And we don't always do it all for the whole year. Sometimes we just do it for the season we're in. But marriage and family is one of the most important ways when you listen to the Holy Spirit. Like, our girls are at phases that we are over our heads as parents. I mean, we have tweens. And to be with them and like learn how to parent them right, we need the Holy Spirit. Like, you need God in this generation. There's so many new wars and battles in our generation of screen time and peer pressure that's different than any other peer pressure from any other generation. I didn't face this when I was similar things, but I didn't face the full onslaught of what they're going through at school and what the pressures that they're going through in their friendship circles. And so we've had to really pray and say, Holy Spirit, you are our guide in this, but also help us to have the unforced rhythms of grace in these relationships with how we do family night, how we do my date night with my wife, how we do our walks together to really plan out life, how we do our connect times. You know, the secondary is career, and he's ready to guide you in the opportunities that align you with your calling, but you have to think about it, you know, purposefully, because otherwise you're just busy. And that happens so easily. Like, so many times we get so busy, and there was these goals that we knew we wanted to go after when we were first doing our career, and we've lost sight of them because the busyness of the career itself. And God wants to help you to remanage those goals and those kingdom priorities, those things that you know are true. Even if they're not the most present in this season, they're still part of what the season's about. And sometimes we lose sight of those things. Sometimes there's, I talked to a man who is very wealthy now, and when he was first starting, he said, you know, we felt like God, all of our friends went into ministry, and we felt like we were supposed to start a business, and we were supposed to raise money for ministries and raise money for kingdom causes. And our business was really hard, and because all our friends were in ministry, they didn't understand our cash performance. They didn't understand our P&Ls. They didn't understand our processes, our challenges of opening, you know, stores and closing stores and these kinds of things. So we had to really depend on the Holy Spirit, because we didn't have a lot of, in our peer group circle, a lot of feeding in those areas, and they were very ministry minded. And he goes, but man, the long term, we think, you know, 15, 18 years of, it felt like we were failing forward into the long term goal. And when we got into the long term goal, we remember the before and after, because all of a sudden there was a flow of resources, and we were able to help some really specific projects at the right time. We were the people that God raised up with the resource to do it. But we had to remember in those, all those years that were, felt like there were so many, it was just felt like a lack. It felt like it was never going to work. It felt like we were always behind. We had to remember those years that we had a goal that was God's goal for us, and he was going to make a difference at some point. And I think some of us don't think of the enduring passion of love for Jesus sometimes, the endurance and perseverance that it takes. I mean, Paul attributes perseverance many times to some of the greatest Christian virtue that we could have. And you can't have perseverance if you don't have goals, and you don't have goal, and you can't plan your time around those goals if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit and you don't follow the word, because you're never going to be able to do it without him. And I think of, you know, we also have causes and passions, and God's igniting so many of our hearts with things that resonate with his heart and helping you to say yes to what matters most. And that means you have to say no to a lot of distractions. And one of the most powerful things, words we have in our human vocabulary as a Christian, is the word no. Not just the word yes. Yeah, it's easy to say yes to good things, but it's hard to say no to good things. And no is a really powerful word. And so if God, if you only have so much space in your life, and you only have so much causes that you could actually bring the time of volunteer, you know, work or raise money for, or raise awareness for, or raise whatever it is, share with your friendship circle, then you have to protect those, and you have to actually say yes to those fully by saying no to everything else. And I you know, when I was first 20 years of my ministry, even I was just about everything. I was almost like a spiritual tourist. Like, I care about that and I care about that. It was good that I was learning how to care about so many different things that are happening in the world that are undone. I mean, justice is undone all the time, and kingdom justice brings God's justice in ways that reflect heaven, reflect his heart. And I wanted to bring his justice everywhere. And I, you know, you can get easily into a Messiah complex doing that. And then finally I had to look at it and go, I only have so much time. I only have so much capacity. What is God focusing me on? And so we do a lot with children at risk. Like, we're involved with an organization called Justice Rising that builds, you know, schools in Congo and in war zones, other war zones besides Congo, like Syria. And that's really precious, because we want to raise money that direction. We don't want to raise money for 1,500 organizations and only be able to give $50. Although that's beautiful, but we want to raise money to actually build schools and help kids get an education, because we know that that can change their whole outlook on life, and it could change a country if you educate children the right way and the way they should go. And so that's part of our passion. And so we've looked at it and gone, okay, we only have so much resource and time to give this, so how are we going to do that? And some years it's been like being a part of the events, or some years it's been just giving money here and there. And so it's just different depending on the capacity that we have, but we're very connected, you know, to a vision for, that's one of the areas of children at risk. There's been some other areas of children at risk, like organizations like Troy Brewer's organization that actually goes after child trafficking, child human trafficking, and that we're passionate about, like, rescuing kids, but we aren't doing the work physically of rescuing kids, but we're supporting organizations that will. And I think, like, when you get overburdened, when you're at church and you hear all the causes, like, and all the volunteer roles and all the things you could do, and you don't know how to place your feet in the ground of what God's called you to, then you create confusion in your own faith. And sometimes you create confusion in the world around you because you volunteer for everything and you're not really doing it well, any of them well. And that happens all the time to people who don't manage their time well. And you get into time poverty because you're like, what's wrong? And sometimes you even project on the whole world around you, like a victim mentality of, like, they've done this to me. And it's like, reality is, like, you got to manage your time. You got to, with the Holy Spirit, you got to manage it. And I think of, you know, the fourth area of managing your time is spiritual growth. And God's bringing fresh, you know, fresh conviction to the way we grow. And he wants to bring creative ways for you to grow in intimacy with him this year. And I know for me and Sherry, we're really deliberate. So sometimes the creative intimacy that God brings is like, we're reading a book right now that is helping us. You know, I'm in the first maybe two chapters. She's in like maybe the first, actually, I think she's in the first two chapters too. And it's more of a book that it's kind of addresses like a mindset in our culture of codependency, and it's called Let It Go. It's more of a psychologist book, but then we're applying that to our faith and our journey of how we can have healthy boundaries in our life and in relationships, and how we can have a healthy release for the people around us. But we're also going to church every week, and we're trying to apply the sermons to our life. We're trying to look at it. And in the church where we're at right now is really doing an incredible series on just kind of inspirational goal setting and, you know, setting declarations this year. And so it's been really beautiful to watch that. And so we're engaging our faith, but then we have some other areas we're trying to grow in as well. And sometimes that takes therapy. Sometimes it takes mentoring. Sometimes it takes whatever it is. And I'm going to encourage you to be intentional this year in your spiritual growth. If you don't have a spiritual growth plan, you won't grow into what you want to grow into. And I would encourage you to get involved with something. Like we start spiritual growth mentoring community online a couple years ago, and this is not an advertisement in a traditional sense. But we started because we had so many people who were saying, I'm going to grow in hearing God's voice. I'm going to grow in things of the Spirit, but my church only teaches that like once every 3 years, or I don't have a community I can grow with, or I don't have people who are challenging me. I don't have people I can share my dreams to interpret. So we said, why don't we just have a place for people to be able to come and be a part of? And we'll have a pastor who's on it, whose name is Jeff, and we'll have activation groups and 4-week classes. And so we've been doing that. And it's been incredible. Like our class this month is about learning how to bless your time and also break curses off your life and others. And a lot of us don't understand the biblical method of praying in agreement with blessing and the biblical method of praying in agreement against curses. And it's been foundational for so many people with a pastor named Mark Verkler who's been teaching it. And so I just think like the people who are in that community are actually spiritually rooted in trying to grow and being mentored to actually take on big projects. I mean, people out of that mentoring community have written books and have made albums and have taken on career projects because they've heard from God and they're walking it out with integrity. They're walking it out in a way where they have a community around them of who are challenging them. And I feel like spiritual growth, it definitely takes just like working out. Like you couldn't just go to the gym and just go, well, I guess I'll do some legs somehow and I'll do a couple sets and that, then my legs will get strong. You actually have to have a plan in place for how you're going to work out for your body to change, for your body to come into its fullness of energy and strength. And if you don't have that plan in place at the gym and how you eat and in the time, you're not going to do it. And so this is the kind of thing that we have to do spiritually as well. And the number 5 area that God really wants to help you with is crisis management. And all of us have a number of crises that will hit us. And crisis doesn't mean like level 10, like the fires in California have been a crisis that has been a level 10 for so many people. But not all of us are experiencing that kind of crisis. But throughout the year, we might face a death in the family. We might face somebody getting sick. We might face a relational conflict or whatever it is. And God wants to give you even a rhythm for that. He wants to help you through that. So not everything in your life is destroyed and the work that he's doing is all on pause because you're in a crisis, but he wants to help you to manage these things and have the right compartments for all of your energy for all these areas. And some of that's, you can't plan crisis management, but you can learn crisis management skills to apply to your life. And it's beautiful. Again, that goes back into maybe some of the counseling and biblical counseling that can help you. But here's an incredible thing about the whole thing. You know, when I think of it, I think he doesn't just bring a plan. He also helps you to draw boundary lines and helps you to stay on track with where you'll thrive the most. I think people who go to a life coach, people who go to a career coach, people who just go to church, those are beautiful things. But when you actually engage your relationship with Jesus through his Holy Spirit, he lives inside of you and he gently nudges you and convicts you when you're tempted to overextend yourself or to prioritize the wrong things. He reminds you to come back to his rhythm he set in your life. I know some of you can feel that because you'll get convicted like, oh, I shouldn't say yes to this one more thing. It's a great thing, but I shouldn't say yes. Or, oh, I shouldn't do that one. Or, oh, I got to do this one. I have to go even though I don't feel like it. Like the Holy Spirit's so good at getting you, just like a really good friend, getting you to do things you don't want to do. I mean, the Holy Spirit's the best friend. When I was a young adult, I had friends who can come over at almost any time and get me to do things that I would never want to do on my own. I mean, I'm a homebody. I want to be at home. And they'd be like, let's go on this trip or let's do this. And when you have a good friend, they could pull you out of what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And the Holy Spirit's the best friend because he pulls you into spaces and things that you don't even have capacity or energy for. But when he shows you his love and he shows you why it's worth saying yes, because he shows you Jesus again, you just can't help but say yes, you know? And when you falter and you step outside the boundaries, he doesn't greet you with judgment, but with compassion. And he's the God who picks you up, dusts you off, and helps you reset, which is so beautiful. Some of you might be so far off of your boundaries of time, and your time might be so, you know, depleted, and you might be so internally like not sure how to start this process. but he is so good. And I'm going to encourage you, Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days, then we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I think there's something about asking God to teach us, like, help me to have a heart of wisdom for over my time. Help me to look at my projects and my time. And I talked to a man named Pedro. Some of you know Pedro Odeo. And he used to do retirement planning, and now he does marketing and teaches people in, you know, 100X group. And he would ask people when they had elderly parents, how many more times do you want to spend with them if you don't live near them before they die? And plan that right now. So if they may live till their late 80s and they're already 76, you have maybe 10 to 13 years left. So how many times a year are you going to go see them? Because you're going to have to be intentional about it, because they may not know how to be as intentional as you. And he would teach people how to number their days and actually look at significant relationships and pour into them. And that helped me when he was telling us about that. It helped me to just go, how am I investing my time for the core relationships I have? And if you wrote down all the core relationships, you wrote down all the core projects, you wrote down all the core mandates you have, how do those work together and how are you spending that? And when you ask Holy Spirit to show you, it won't be as overwhelming as it sounds. And this year, let God be your guide. Let God be your planner. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be your time management planner and maybe to restore your time even that's been lost. Maybe you never asked him to do that. Ask him, invite him into your time management and your priorities and your dreams. He's not just a God who saves you. He's a God who wants to do life with you. He wants to walk with you through all the days of your life. And he wants to give you John 10:10, which is one of our life scriptures here at the ministry. It says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God comes to give you life and life abundantly. And that's daily life. That's why he gives you a daily prayer, that he helps you to pray the Lord's Prayer. And as you trust him to organize your days and align your priorities, you're going to find grace leading you to the kind of peace and fulfillment you've been longing for. Some of you haven't had that kind of fulfillment in so long in your time. Like you feel like, oh, I didn't do enough of that. I didn't have enough of this. I didn't spend enough time with them. And you don't want to walk in with kind of a shame complex or a guilt complex into 2025. You want to actually look at those things and go, let those inform what I need to do. And release yourself from what you haven't done and ask God for forgiveness and ask people for forgiveness if you need to, and then move on and actually come into 2025 as a year you can walk with those unforced rhythms of grace. I think of Jeremiah 29:11. Let me read this to you because you know this scripture, but think about your life and how he cares so much about your time. He wants to do life with you in the day that you're living in right now. So for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That means he cares about each and every day, not just the eternal future, but he cares about the now future. He cares about this side of eternity as well. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they'll soar with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get weary, and they'll walk and they'll not faint. I want to pray for you as we just end this and just over your time. And I want you to just maybe picture in your spirit the calendar of your life. Just picture a calendar that has you and your family on it. If you're single, use a single person in your spiritual community on it. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us to look at our days and our months and this year as something that you can help us to organize and show us what to write in those dates. Show us how to plan our family time, our relationship time. Show us how to plan our marriage time. Show us how to plan, if we're single, our single time. Show us how to plan our projects, our passion projects, but our career projects. Show us, God, how to plan our relationship, our spiritual drive with you, and help us to have the perseverance to commit to it this year. Help us to have even the goals that we're setting, the actual tangible time where we wake up and we say, okay, it's time to spend time with God. It's time to work out, whatever it is. God, help us to have that place that's agreement, that yes, that's not just the hypothetical, I know that's what I should do, yes, but I do what I don't want to do. But help us to have the yes. It's like, I commit to you, God. I commit my time and my days and my energies to you, God. Jesus, we want to walk out our days for you. And we want to, by the time you return, we want you to be able to say to us, well done. You did what you were supposed to do with the time I gave you on the earth. Help us to do that, God. And for those of us who've lost time, maybe it was because of a life of sin, or maybe it was because of broken relationships, or maybe it was because, I know some of you may have been caregiving an elderly parent and you feel like you lost a lot of time, or some of you were working on a business that didn't work out and you feel like you lost time, or you worked in a career field that just wasn't your passion and now you feel like you're behind, or whatever it is. I'm just trying to give hypothetical examples, because the reality is that all of us have felt like we've lost time in some area, and God wants to bring you into the fullness of time. He wants to bring you back to the place where he can restore what's lost or redeem your time. And I pray that God would allow you to feel the redemption over your time, and that he would do in years like 2025 what would normally take decades, that he would do in a short period of time what would have taken all that time that was lost, whether it's in a relationship or in finances, whether it's in your time in spending to God in spiritual development, that you haven't spent time with God in years and you want to. And I pray over your time with Jesus and the Word that the Bible would come alive in 2025. I didn't mean to say it that way. I'm not a prophetic jargon guy, but I love that the Bible would come alive in 2025. And God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and we bless you. And I bless everyone who's watching and listening in Jesus' name. Now, thank you for being with me on Exploring the Prophetic, our weekly episodic prophetic kind of messaging and supplement to your daily walk with the Lord. We release them every Sunday. And so if you're just finding this on YouTube, or if you're finding this on our podcast and you want to know when is this live or when is this new, it's every Sunday. And you can join us there. And you can also support our ministry by going to bowlsministries.com. And any donation helps us to keep doing the work of the ministry that we're doing. We're helping people to navigate to the love of Jesus every day. And we want you to be a part of that mission, that journey with us. We'll see you next time on Exploring the Prophetic. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or shawnbowles.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.